We're talking on Tuesday, so we're speak for, I don't know, 9 or 10 minutes or so about a sefer. We're going through a lot of the standard svarim in the world of halakha. So we've spoken a little bit about the Tor. We've spoken about the Beis Yosef. We've spoken about the Bach. The Beis Yosef and the Bach are both svarim that are ostensibly on the Tor, although we pointed out that the Beis Yosef is really a sefer on the entirety of Torah on some level that he happened to put on the Tor and debated putting on Rambam, but figured Tor is a good place to go. The Bach is in many ways more of a sefer specifically on the Tor. If you look at the bottom, there's something called the Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe was written by the Rama, and there's a lot of fascinating things about the Sefer Darkei Moshe. The Sefer Darkei Moshe was written at the same time that the Beis Yosef is coming out, and the Rama writes that he was writing, Be'etzem, his goal was the same as the Beis Yosef. He even writes similar to the Beis Yosef, that he put it on the Tor, not because he wants to explain the Tor, but the Tor is just a really good, clear system, and he thinks he can elaborate on the Tor, and he'll also quote all the Shitas, and it'll all be really good, and you'll have a safer call, the Darkei Moshe, wouldn't that be wonderful? The problem is that he wrote in the Orach Chaim, he wrote in Yoredeya. As he gets up to his Selek on Yoredeya, he turns around and he realizes, oh my gosh, he just got this new sefer called the Beis Yosef. And he realizes that the Beis Yosef is kemat, the same goal that he was trying to do. It's basically the same thing. And the Beis Yosef also, he quotes everything. So he has a lot of chalish shadas in terms of what exactly he should do. In fact, they say, it's quoted in the sefer Milas HaYuchsin, they quote it from the Hakdama to one of the Torahs, that the Beis Yosef was actually told by the Maggid. Beis Yosef, Yitzchak Cairo, had a Maggid that came to him, hence the Sefer Maggid Mesharim. And the Maggid told him, chaper rein on writing your Sefer Beis Yosef, because it's a Jew in Krakow that's writing a very similar Sefer, so make sure that you get yours out first, shemi kadmenu acher, like the Gemara said to my cousin about marriage, make sure that you get it out as quickly as possible, so that you'll be able to have that Sefer that's really being done. At that point in time, the Rama has to make a decision as to what to do. And he makes the decision that there are three main reasons why he should still write some sefer called Darkei Moshe. The first reason, he says, is the Beis Yosef is very long. And my sefer could be more concise. I think I can get the ideas in a more concentrated way. He says, even though it's true in general, the Gemara says in Masechet Sota that Kitzer Dinim is not considered to be so good. He says, I don't think that's what I'm doing right now. I'm still giving you the reasoning behind things. I'm able to write it in a shorter way. It can spend less time going through my sefer than you would have to go through the Beis Yosef itself. So writes the Rama in Darkei Moshe. The Rama is the second reason. He says, unbelievable as the Beis Yosef was in writing his sefer, says the really tricky thing with Beis Yosef, though, is that there are svarim that he happens to be missing. Some of the svarim from the world of Ashkenaz and some svarim like that, he doesn't have to quote the certain truths in the Gaonim, he didn't quote the Sefer Isser Veheter Ha'aruch, he doesn't quote, and he says the Rambam, not everything I'm quoting do I think is the most important thing, some things I'm quoting I'm going to disagree with, but it's important to be aware that there were shitas that were missing from the Beis Yosef. The third reason why he says I have to write a Sefer is because even though, this relates to the Bach also, but even though the Beis Yosef did such an amazing job of gathering everything, he had this funny way of paskening that he would take the Rambam, the Rush, and the Rif, and whenever two out of three went one way, he would paskin that way. As you noted last week, the Beis Yosef doesn't always do that, and he has a system for what you do when there is no Rambam, Rif, and Rush. Again, we noted in the Choshen Mishpat that Yafka often paskin, like Rambam, instead of the Rif and the Rush. But the Rama says, that's not our Mesorah, that's not how we do things, for two reasons. Number one, we assume that the Halakha, which many of us are aware of in the world of Psak Halakha, Halakha Kibasrai, that we paskin by whoever came later, because they were able to see what took place earlier. So Halakha Kibasrai, says the Rama, that's something which is still applicable when it comes to Rishonim and other poskim. So the fact that he wrote afterwards, so the fact that we have people that wrote after Rambam, Rif, and Rush, which the Paschim goes, wrote after Rambam, Rif, and Rush, why is it so posh? Why is Paschim like them? And secondly, he says, the system of Rambam, Rif, and Rush doesn't really work as well. Because in Ashkenaz, where we have Minhagim, and we have Minhagim that we do, and if we just decided to shift everything of Rambam, Rif, and Rush, we'd end up being Mevatel, so many of the Minhagim of Ashkenaz, he says, I have to write these Minhagim. So he continues to publish the Sefer Darkei Moshe. What's fascinating is that there's two Darkei Moshe, Darkei Moshe HaKasar and Darkei Moshe HaAruch. A lot of confusion, having a hard time pinning down exactly what took place. But basically what happened was as follows. There were those that when they published the Sefer Darkei Moshe, so Darkei Moshe, they didn't want to have to have the whole Darkei Moshe, because a lot of the Darkei Moshe was the same stuff that was in the Beis Yosef, and he would actually started quoting the Beis Yosef. So they didn't want to do that. So all they basically did was they would cut out large sections of the Darkei Moshe, And that's why if you look at the bottom of the a page, the Darkei Moshe is much shorter than the original Beit Yosef was. Why is Darkei Moshe shorter? Because in one of the versions, they cut out a lot of the Darkei Moshe where there was overlap with the Beit Yosef. And they just quoted those things that were Tosefes Dinim, those things that were quoting from Poskim that he didn't happen to quote, or those things where he comments on what the minhag happened to be. Now, they've redone the Darkei Moshe. They've published a manuscript of Darkei Moshe Ha'aruch. They've done a better job with Darkei Moshe HaKatzar. They have put out Darkei Moshe. But in the back of the, say, this is the Machon Yushalayim Tor, so you have the regular Darkei Moshe at the bottom. But if you go to the end, you have the Darkei Moshe Ha'aruch. Darkei Moshe Ha'aruch was reprinted, which is the longer piece of the Ramah's Darkei Moshe. Why is Darkei Moshe so critical? So when you're learning Torah, it's very critical because he quotes, you know, other things, tells you what the minhag happens to be. The Darkei Moshe happens to be really important for another reason, which is that thus, at least those of us who are Ashkenazim, so we paskin based on the Ramah. The same way that the Mechaber, when he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, worked off of his Beis Yosef, looked in the Beis Yosef, and based on the Beis Yosef came along, and then he paskined, and then he wrote his, and then he came with his Pesachim. So the same thing is true with the Darkei Moshe. Darkei Moshe as well, the Ramah, when he was coming along and he was going to be paskening, he did the same thing, which is that he also paskened based on what you have in the Darkei Moshe. That he writes in Tshuvas in a couple of different places, that this served as like his basis for what he was going to pasken in the Ramah itself. Why is that especially helpful to know? Because sometimes if you're learning Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, and there's a Ramah that isn't as clear, you're not sure exactly what the Makor is or where it really comes from. So if I look back in the Darkei Moshe will often be clearer in terms of where things came from, and sometimes say out to Mar Makomos at greater length to understand why the Ramah is saying what he's saying, how exactly it differs from Shulchan Aruch. So that's a safer Darkei Moshe. Again, it's an amazing thing that he pivoted and was able to admit the fact that Beis Yosef already did an absolutely fantastic job. But he does again argue that there are certain advantages in terms of what he wrote. We should point out that when they initially abridged the Darkei Moshe, they did not do an unbelievable job, and there were things that they took out of the Darkei Moshe that really were additions of his, and sometimes there were lines that were hard to understand, which is why some of the newer editions of Darkei Moshe are uniquely helpful, because then you get the context of what exactly is going on. That's at least, again, a little bit of a summary of the Sefer Darkei Moshe, what the Ramah was doing there. We've now covered a lot, at least, three of the major works on the Torah of the Beis Yosef, the Bach, and the Darkei Moshe. Could be next time we'll speak about the Prisha and the Drisha, and we'll try to, I guess, that, and then we'll move on. But the goal is to understand at least a solid makeup of what exactly different Sfarim are doing as you are learning them. Okay. A couple things as far as